Hey everyone, this is Rachel Mooney.
This is Cindy.
This is Maggie.
And this is Andrea. And you're listening to Real Her Talk, houses, heels, and real estate deals.
To display all your comic books from your childhood because they're the only things that you still have that bring you happy memories.
That sounds...
And it also has a sink.
Okay.
Yeah. I have seen her.
You'll need to push, pull. Yeah, there you go. All right, ready?
Explain the clapping.
I have to clap us in and clap us out, and that's so that Seth knows, like, when we actually start, because he's like, oh, my God, y'all chit-chat, and I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, 1, 2, 3. Okay, welcome, everybody. We got a guest this week. Dawn, you want to introduce yourself?
I do not.
Best answer ever.
Yeah.
Dawn Scurry Thompson. Dawn, because I'm from Brooklyn.
I was going to say, Dawn.
Dawn. The Brooklynites will understand it, but I have no street cred because I've lived in the South for way longer than I lived in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Does the Brooklyn accent come back out then when you go home? Like, does it come back, you know?
It doesn't, actually.
It doesn't?
No, they won't let me, they won't even, my family won't even acknowledge that I'm from Brooklyn anymore.
No.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't talk to them.
That's fair.
I actually grew up, I don't think I've ever said this, but where I grew up in southern Indiana, I grew up in Possum Holler.
What?
Possum Holler. And then when my dad built a new house, we moved to Skunk Ridge.
Stop. Wait, are these like
I'm not making
the real names of the towns or just
Well,
the...
it is the community. The community will know southern Indiana, Washington, Indiana, Beale Township, they know exactly where Possum Holler is in Skunk Ridge.
Of course they do.
And it's Holler.
Holler.
Yeah.
H-O-L-L-E-R.
E-R. It's Holler.
Not Hollow.
Not Hollow.
No, Holler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seth, the name of the road he grew up on, it was Slaughter Lane. I was like, who named that?
Well, probably the packing house was at the end.
Maybe. Something.
Yeah.
But somebody grabbed a possum and it hollered?
Well, that we were in the holler, and there's a lot of possums there.
All right, so we got Slaughter Lane for my hubby. She's in Possum Holler, and you're from Brooklyn.
Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Yeah. They should make a movie about that.
They did?
Yeah.
What was it?
Flatbush.
Yeah, what was it?
Do I need to watch this movie? I feel like I need to watch this.
Rachel's like,
it's an interesting experience.
Is it?
If you've never been. Have you ever been to Brooklyn?
No.
It's a way different Brooklyn than I was actually born into in the 70s.
I've been to New
York.
It's
very gentrified, and like Flatbush is fancy, and Park Slope.
Yeah, I've never
You've got
been
Prospect
that
far. Park. It's
a crazy story.
There. I feel like we need to have a girls' trip.
Williamsburg is... Oh,
No, because we can go see the KW up there. Like, they're killing it.
And just write it off.
Can we go? I want to go. I'm ready to go on a trip.
All right, you guys have to pay for me because I don't get to write off anything.
That's right. You're W-2, aren't you?
Yeah.
Wow.
$7 and...
You got to start an LLC that's like a consulting firm for yourself.
Ooh. I don't know. Okay. So my husband is self-employed, so there are things that go on.
Got it. He is the consultant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
I like it.
Yeah.
So I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses. So headquarters is there.
That's like
it used to be.
Can you say that's like going to a Mecca for you? Is that
It's
correct?
Not that exciting. No, I mean, it's just literally the branch's headquarters. It's not, like, it's literally...
The corporate headquarters.
It's the corporate headquarters. But no, like, the printing presses were all there forever and ever. And you know they sold all of that stuff and all of it, because they moved to upstate because they don't need the harbor anymore. Because they don't ship anything. Everything's all digital. And so those are all high-end condos now. Because all of the Watchtower's property wrapped the river.
Wow.
It was... Some of the highest price sale real estate.
Is it on the Manhattan side or on like the Queens side?
On the Brooklyn side.
Brooklyn side.
Yeah, right out. So as you came over the Brooklyn Bridge from Manhattan, they owned like from Furman Street all the way around. They actually owned the last undeveloped lot in New York City because they used it as a gravel parking lot.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
And they owned the hotel, the... Bossiter, Bassamer Hotel, that was like iconic in Brooklyn. They owned tons of brownstones because they were there way before. I mean, they started buying up property in Brooklyn in the early 1900s.
If I could use a time machine,
mm-hmm. I know, right? Go back.
Oh my gosh.
But the funniest story about that is that the headquarters, like, because they're back not terribly long ago, it was a little bit rougher of a neighborhood. And so they spray paint constantly. Well, they learned that if they went and spray painted any of the properties that were owned by the our headquarters, they would go and take it off the very next day. So the tags wouldn't last. So they stopped tagging all of our buildings because it wouldn't last longer than 12 hours.
It was a waste of time.
And paint.
Yeah.
And that was one of the funniest stories. I was like, wow, there you go. There's how you deter tagging on your buildings is you don't leave up more than 12 hours. But nobody else is going to go out and do that. So.
There's no tagging in Southern India.
No.
Or around here.
No.
But yeah.
Basketball tag.
Yeah. No. But yeah, no, it's not really Mecca. It was all printing facilities. And yeah, you could tour it, but
nothing great to see.
Yeah, I mean, now when, because they moved up to Warwick, New York. So now there's like a pretty museum and there's like a Bible history tour you can go on and stuff for free. But yeah, back in the day in Brooklyn, it was printing presses and stuff. So
I didn't even know that. So we moved out like when I was
young.
I was in kindergarten. And then I went back for school in the 90s for theater school. And by then, Brooklyn was, I mean, I could literally get on the train and be on the train at 2 a.m. and I was completely fine.
And you weren't dead?
Nope.
That's good.
I got a date. He was gay, but it's fine.
That's fine.
Okay. I had to do a yacht cruise. That was super fun.
Yeah.
Yacht cruise.
A yacht, like he worked for Barney's.
Okay.
And they did like a Circle Line dinner cruise.
Oh.
And he needed me with him. Yeah. I was like 19 or 20, so I was completely clueless. I was clearly a cover for his boss, who then proceeded to hit on me because I think everybody knew that he was not interested in me.
Oh, that's so funny.
So I spent the entire time running away from him on the ship because it was just uncomfortable.
That's hilarious.
That is pretty funny.
I love my New York memories. Mm-hmm. I hope I never lose them because they were fun.
It sounds fun.
All right, how'd you get into real estate?
House hunters. Duh.
Bless it.
No, I'm telling you.
You like to look at real estate.
No, it's a long mm-hmm. and windy road. I had never thought about real estate. I did not grow up living in a home. Like, we moved so many times. But I was mid-20s. And worked for a law firm as a paralegal, and the team that I worked on was working on RESPA violation stuff and trying to classify, mm-hmm. certify classes of plaintiffs that had RESPA violations, just junk fees and all the things. So I lived in a room full of HUD ones for years, and they sent me to school to get my degree in paralegal studies. And I do remember thinking, oh, real estate law is very interesting. Maybe one day I'll go to law school. Not going to happen. Fast forward a few years, bought my first house. Didn't do it with a realtor because I know how to read a HUD one. I know what I'm doing. Thankfully, I did not get, like, I made it out of that alive. Then the crash. Then I revisited going back to get a license, but at the time, single mom, and I was a little worried about that. So I went into television advertising instead. And then fast forward some years, was actually in corporate finance for Citibank at the time and was traveling all the time. Never saw my daughter ever, who was maybe a year and a half at the time, and was in Chicago for some sort of regional meeting. And I remember just really being unhappy. And I knew I didn't want to be on the corporate ladder anymore because they were making money, but I was making the money for them.
Yeah.
So I went to my room, and I'm not kidding. I turned on the TV and I was crying, and House Hunters came on. And I thought, I always thought about real estate. Maybe I could revisit that. And I signed up for the online pre-license course that night. and got my license about 9 weeks later and never looked back.
Wow. So it was House Hunters.
It really was House Hunters, but obviously it's not House Hunters. It's Selling Sunset.
Right. Yeah.
And 7 years later. And I've never, not one time, just showed three houses in 24 minutes and let my buyers have never made a decision.
Mm. And you go to a coffee shop and you're I'm going to send this offer over and the agent's going to call me right back.
Right back. Or go to an open house, have a whole drama fight over stuff. Yeah. Nothing like TV. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of cool to be a part of it.
That's cool that reminded you, though, that was your dream.
Mm-hmm. It was a dream I didn't know I had, but yeah. And now my daughter could care less if I'm home ever. And
but you can be.
But I can be. Yeah. I can be. Yeah.
And you drive her to school every morning.
I walk her to school in the mornings.
Where are you driving to then when I see you?
I'm dropping off my
exchange student. That's what it is. I was like, no, you're driving somebody somewhere in the morning. Yeah. Where are you going? Okay.
He goes to a private academy that I have to drive him to. I wish he could walk. Oh my gosh. Keep him. Yeah. It is neat. And like spring break is coming up and mm-hmm. I think we're just going to do a staycation and she'll go with me if I've got showings or appointments, which she loves.
And how old is she?
Awesome.
8.5
Oh, it's perfect.
That is good.
Yeah. I would bring her to all of them because mm-hmm. 8.5-year-olds are girls are just... I love when little girls come and stay with their moms here.
Yeah. I was like, don't worry, and just give me like about 2 years, and I'll have her at the front desk.
You got it. Yeah. Actually, because she's
she'll
expensive.
Have a summer job.
And she needs to understand that like money doesn't just grow on trees. She needs to earn it. No.
Dang it.
So weird.
Yeah.
Maybe she could teach my husband then.
Actually, she's a bad influence. She probably never had
Yeah, yeah, they'd get along great.
Yeah,
they would get along.
They'd be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we love, you listen to the podcast.
I do. It's so exciting.
So.
I do not wear high heels, though.
That's okay. That's not a requirement.
No. Thank goodness.
It's not a requirement.
No.
Sneakers
are good.
We are going to talk about fashion for one hot second.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a couple of obsessions right now. But the first thing is, Cindy looks so pretty today.
Oh, thanks.
And so I said to Rachel, I was like, stop asking. That's podcast material right there. Podcast material. So now you can finish your sentence. Where did you get it? Because that's a great dress.
Amazon. Yes. Matter of fact, Katie has one too. I can show you the particular one. And it's in like, I swear it's in 20 different colors and materials because I got a couple of them I had to send back because it wasn't this. I'm a creature that likes, if it feels good, then it's going to be great. But thanks. Yeah. And it was so, so inexpensive. But I will tell you a story. If you watch the podcast, I have a daughter and she is in her early 40s. I think about the same age that most of you guys probably are. And
all the same age.
I was about to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll take it. Come on, ladies.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay. We're all 42. No, you're 42.
29.
Yeah.
I'm
42.
Unless I get crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
31.
Damn it. Uh-huh. All right, fine. I'll go to 39. But that's yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Cindy. We
no problem. No problem at all. But I use Amazon now for clothing because my daughter lives in Decatur and she has a huge group of very eclectic, great women. One of them is a model. And I loved everything I ever saw on this woman and she said Amazon.
Really?
No way. Yeah.
Amazon.
Interesting.
So at that point, then I go, if it's good enough for that beautiful model over there, then
right,
I'll start looking
enough.
Around.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's so much easier. I just find it hard to shop anyway because you know what you want. But even the big department stores, there's only one of them. There is going to be in a size 3.
Yeah.
Or it's just, it's too expensive. And I choose not to spend any of the time I have, free time, tromping around the mall. So.
Yeah, me either. I hate that.
And it comes right to my door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't... My best friend in California, she's upset. She'll go shop, and I'm like, you're like one of the only people I know that likes to still go to the places. I'm like, please let me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think that maybe if we weren't, our business wasn't so challenging, let's just put it like,
That's true. Maybe if I didn't have anything else to do.
If I was sitting at home, then maybe I go, oh, let me go to the mall and see what there is.
But Gina is running a huge multi-million dollar business too, but that is like her love language. But she doesn't have any kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. That's different.
That's different.
Does she have a husband?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's like a kid.
Yeah, but
he may not be. I mean, he might like it too, though. Does he enjoy going?
He enjoys doting on her.
Oh, there you go. That's perfect.
She did good. Okay, now you're just being ugly.
Well, round two.
Round two.
Yeah, she had a practice husband. He was a jack wagon. Yeah.
I haven't heard that before.
Oh, yeah, that's what I got. My husband had a practice wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes.
Practice husband numero uno was worthless. Numero dos, we like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, he wants to include those 5 years into how long he's been married.
Oh, no.
Oh, I said, no, you don't get to count practicing.
No.
Some of us got it right the first time.
That's right. Just because you fell off the bicycle, you don't get to.
He'll say, I think we've been married 46 years, I think. Or maybe it's in November. But anyway, 40-something, enough. And I think he says, well, I've been married over 50 years.
You're like, no,
you haven't.
No. Yeah. You couldn't get the first 5 years right.
Yeah. No counting. No. So
you would like my husband. He is very funny. And
we call him Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
I got a big daddy.
He's 6'5".
Yeah. Mine's got short legs. Yeah. He's got such short legs and the longest torso.
Well, Shane was in Vegas, didn't he see...
Did he see your Big Daddy?
Yeah. He did.
I don't know. Yeah. Did they say, I'm Big Daddy? I'm Big Daddy.
No, I don't think the guys
introduced themselves as Daddy.
Okay.
Donna's over here going, oh, my land.
I really don't know why we call Shane Big Daddy, to be honest.
Well.
I'm not quite sure how he got that name.
Quickly, and I've told this story.
6 foot. He's not tall at all. His personality is grand. Yeah, he's got a really grand personality.
My husband is tall, but also he lovingly, our daughter got into driving DUI obstacles when she was young, when she got right out of college, and he drove her to work, which was like a good hour and a half. To work and picked her up and then would take her when she had to go because she had just got hired in her first job. And so we called him the Big Daddy Limousine Service.
Oh my God.
So now he's just Big Daddy because there's no limousine service going on.
No.
Now she owns her own company and she's like
chauffeured everywhere.
Chauffeured.
Good driver.
Yeah. Good for her.
Now
Bradley is the limousine driver that comes and picks them up.
I like that you know that.
Yeah.
No, so smart. TikTok shop.
I haven't bought anything on TikTok shop.
I did, actually.
Yeah, I haven't done one thing yet.
My girlfriend Kristen has a TikTok shop. And I did buy a dress. It was an orange, gorgeous orange dress that I bought for my 50th.
And I didn't wear it.
I wore it.
She hasn't worn it yet.
I know. I'm like, whoa. Yeah, exactly.
I'll wear it in 11 years. I wore it for the Top Producers Gala a couple weeks ago. And I have to say, it was fabulous.
How much did you pay for it?
$19.
What?
It's super stretchy and forgiving. And Laura Suggs did not recognize me.
That's amazing.
Either she was already drunk or I don't often like make an effort.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know with neither of those.
No,
yes, she was Laura Suggs' partner at Gannick.
She usually does.
No, okay, I am going to call BS on both of those things.
Me too.
But clearly you are quite stunning. No, it's literally just bought, everybody needs to go on a TikTok show. I got a bathing suit. Two sweaters.
Bathing suits are personal. You have to try those babies on.
And for $10, if it doesn't fit, I will throw
it
away.
Pass it down. Okay.
Or give it away. Like, literally, I got two sweaters.
$10.
Hold on. Can you hand me my phone real quick? I'm sorry. My purple one. Like, you're just going to fall over because this stuff is so freaking cute. Okay. I have a little bit of a problem.
There's like Sheen and...
I know, but I don't ever go on those because I don't... That feels stressful to me.
But Corinne does. She wears some amazing things.
She does, but...
Girl's shop there, too.
Hold on. Sheen. No, not Offers. Because I got to show you guys. You're just going to fall over. Because I got two sweaters. And look how cute these are. $12.
Cute. Oh, super cute.
Yeah. That is cute.
$12.
$12. I got two of them because they were $12. Like, why are you not? I got...
So are these TikTok shops of people you know?
No.
Or
they just show up on your feed? Or do you search TikTok shops?
Like, well, now that it knows like what I look at, it knows it.
That's cute.
That I got for $9.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that cute?
It is cute.
Then I got...
I know there's a shop button on TikTok, but I never go down to...
Look how cute those jeans are.
Those are super cute.
$15.
Oh, yeah.
How long does it take to get this stuff?
Like a week.
That's not terrible.
And then look how cute this is. If this turns out even remotely cute, that blazer.
Now that's super cute. Okay.
$25.
Yeah.
I got an idea. We all go on TikTok shop. We will buy something to wear, and then we'll all wear what we bought for the podcast.
I can do that.
That's a great idea.
So look, and I got this swimsuit and that sweater and that blouse for less than $100.
So, question, do they, if it did not fit and you wanted to send it back?
Theoretically, you can send it back.
Is it like Amazon there where you can drop it off anywhere or?
No, you like, I don't know. It's so cheap. I don't.
She gives it to Seth and he does it.
I know.
That is so fair. God knows I don't even know where Amazon goes back to. I stack it up and I'm like, somebody needs to make that go away.
That's her leverage.
It is.
That's how she leverages her.
I don't have that leverage.
I mean, but you need to get it.
Yeah.
No, the other thing.
Can you send a home a note?
Prescription. Okay, do you guys want to see the best?
She needs leverage.
She needs leverage. I vote. Okay, best doormat I've ever bought. You guys ready for this? Doormat.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, well, you're going to have to show this.
That's hilarious.
It is a kitty cat face, and I love cats, and it says, "Go away, peasants." And I got it for $10. And so, yeah, it's just stupid stuff like that. Like, oh, the other thing that I get on here is all my little doggy clothes.
Goes,
oh, no, yeah.
Wet clothes?
The dog clothes. Because on Amazon or Etsy, they're so expensive. And so, like, I got the little sweater for $6.
Are you bringing Tinkerbell to get her photo done?
If you really want. I feel bad because you're paying for that.
No, just come. It'll be fun. It's going to be fun.
Are you sure?
Yes. Fill out the Google
form. Because I feel guilty.
No. Don't feel guilty. Bring her, and she's going to have a photo shoot.
Okay, so here's where you go.
I'll chip in on the photo shoot price. Just
okay,
take
thank
the
you.
Dog.
So if you're in TikTok, the For You page, like when you're scrolling through videos, the shop is right next to it. And they're always giving you coupons and stuff, and they really are. And then you just start scrolling, and they have all kinds of cute stuff. Those shoes I had on the other day, I showed you, the flats.
Yeah. Came from
I
there.
I don't know about you, dear, but I think $7. There's an addiction about ready to.
There is.
Yeah.
I get lost
I can
in the
see,
TikTok
look,
hole
her
all the
eyes
time.
Even glisten.
They
she
did.
Does when
because
she
I'm like, for $100, that is a shopping, like, that'll fill my bucket for a hot second.
Yeah.
And then, like, if it lasts for one season or whatever, that's fine.
Well, I agree about that, but it's when you enjoy the shopping more than you enjoy the items that you get from the shopping that becomes a little bit of
releases it.
Oh, endorphins. Yeah. No, I got... Okay, I'm so lame. How lame I am about how excited this is going to make me is... There's going to be judgment. Okay, so I got this little thing for our car because if you've noticed... Have you listened to how we ended up with the same car?
Yes.
Because I that guy bought the Tesla.
It's on the podcast.
It's on the podcast, yeah. So if anybody's interested,
how we got
Rachel got hers. She's OG. And then I was like, I'm totes in. And so anyway, so you know our windows like are slanted, but then when they get kind of foggy, it's really hard to get like that little film off.
Yeah.
So on the TikTok shop, I got a little arm thing that on the end has a microfiber cloth that wraps all the way around. So then you have it and you just go like this up and down.
I need that for sure.
There was like $7. I keep that in the car. It makes me happy every time I use it.
It's making you happy now.
I need
that.
Yes.
Look.
I need that.
So no, I like.
I'm on my second Tesla and I really love.
What do you have?
I have the 3. Help me up, whore.
Oh, stop. My girlfriend just bought the new Y.
Yeah, one of mine.
She just got it on Saturday and brought it over.
Is that the bigger one than ours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little
does
bit.
It go to Z?
No, doesn't have any Z's. You know,
it's
there's an S, there's
are we
a
jealous?
3, there's an X, and a Y.
Shane says that he likes ours better,
right,
but it's so it has a screen in the back seat that the passengers get to use. And
mine
then you
has
can
one.
Even, they can even play, like, their music and stuff on that one.
So mine has it?
Yeah.
Yours does. Wait, did you just get the new?
Yeah, got
you
it.
Got the redesigned one.
Yeah.
Okay, so like they're updating our version for 2026 to update to that redesign.
I'll be honest, having the screen in the back really makes me nervous for the first couple of months.
Really?
My daughter.
Why?
Wow. Because she's 8.
But what can they do on it?
I don't know. They crack it.
Yeah, that gets
oh,
that's true.
That
true.
Never. I'm like,
nervous.
What are you
yeah.
worried about? Like, she's gonna view something inappropriate.
Oh,
and you're like, no, she's gonna break it. I'm like, right.
Kick.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so far so good,
yeah.
And it is fun. They can play their little games.
They can play
she
on
can
it.
Control the music.
Yeah, or the temperature. So mine saved me the other day from getting
shut
a wreck.
Up. Hold on a second. $2. The little wipey thing is $2. I'll text you guys the link. It's $2.
Wow. Yeah, we need that.
Really
yeah,
difficult.
That one part, I can't get it. Anyways, how did it save you from a wreck?
So I was on, I was coming out of Atlanta, and I was on 8575 in Atlanta, and you know where you can, it veers off to the right to go to 400?
Yes.
So you have 75, 85 this way, 400 this way, and then the lanes in the middle can go to either one.
Yep.
So I'm in the furthest lane to go 400. Well, there's a car over here to the left of me that probably needed to go to 400, but he thought he was in the 400 lane and he wasn't. And so he started to push me off. What it did is it literally pushed my car over, and he ended up wrecking. But it pushed my car away from him.
So it was paying attention.
It was paying attention. So it would not, like, it was turning against my...
Because you're going, what are you doing?
Yeah. So it ended up pushing me on to 75.
Which is better than being in an accident.
Which is better than being in
yeah.
the accident. But anyway, but yeah, it pushed me over. And then my friend Gretchen that just got the new one on Saturday last week, she said it literally came to a complete stop to keep somebody from T-boning her. She didn't see this car coming and her car went to a complete stop. And she goes, it was like a whiplash stuff. Like, I thought somebody hit me. And she was like, literally, my head, like, went back and forth. But then here comes this car barreling that would have ended up T-boning me
wow.
if I would have kept going. I'm like, those cars, they're so freaking smart.
I know. People still can't get over that I let mine drive me. I'm like, oh, my God, I love
oh,
it.
Oh, it's the best.
You're 2 Teslas in and you don't let it drive you? Are you crazy?
It's so, it's a game changer.
I don't know. Maybe I'll try one day.
The only thing is it doesn't recognize potholes or, like, something that
or
blows.
Or big speed bumps.
Yeah, like, it doesn't, which I think hopefully eventually it will. Because
well, but I'll stop it, and then, you know, it asks you to tell you why you stopped it, and I give my feedback.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Smart, yeah.
Yeah.
Mine hit a huge pothole one time in Atlanta. And I wasn't paying attention to it. Like, I probably should have been paying attention,
that's
but
fine.
I wasn't. And it,
ask me how I know about
this. But if it'll drive you.
Yeah, you weren't paying attention either.
No, and it was one of those intentionally large speed bumps, and I was like, mid-air, I swear to God, and I was like, why am I flying right now?
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Noted.
Yeah.
You got to pay attention.
See, and that would be something I would probably not do very well, because once I got comfortable with
you
it,
do,
you just
yeah.
are thinking about something else.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm on the phone. I'm, like, doing all the things.
Eating and drinking.
Listen, And it's fine. If it hits a pothole or speed bump, odds are I probably would have done that anyways, driving with one knee on my phone doing something else. Like, let's call a spade a spade.
Oh, yeah. 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 It didn't do anything.
It's
you
definitely
probably
safer. Exactly. It's having, safer. Having the car drive than
I remember my first driving experience in Atlanta years ago. The law firm that I worked at in my 20s had a firm up here in Buckhead. And I remember it was like 6:30 in the morning and somebody was driving, and this is before self-driving. They were shaving.
Stop.
The newspaper was spread out over the wheel. They were shaving, and it was just, it was so surreal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I don't trust self-driving, because
why? That human exists.
Yes, yeah. But I'm paying attention. I don't want to get caught.
I'm not better than the car. That's my thing.
The car is all around.
It
cameras.
Saved me, yeah. Because
so many cameras.
I'm going to just say this, and I don't mean anything by it. And if you've seen a picture of my family, then you know. And if you haven't, then look it up on Facebook. There was a gentleman who was black, in all black. My car saw him.
Yeah.
I didn't. It was nighttime. I would have hit him.
Yeah, you would have hit him.
I would have hit him because I didn't see him. And mm-hmm. The car slammed on the brakes for me. And I'm like, what are you slamming? And I'm actually like irritated with the car.
Yelling at the car.
Yeah, and then I looked up and I could finally saw the movement, because it was on a street that wasn't overly well lit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I would have hit that man. Mm-hmm. I genuinely would have hit him. And the car was
such a scary thought.
No, we're not going to run over this man. And I was like, oh, yes, thank you. As opposed to yelling at the car for what the crap I'm slamming on the
brakes. And more importantly, that means deers and dogs.
Yes. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Because that is a problem everywhere around us.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially, you know, in the spring and mm-hmm. late fall, those poor deers.
Oh,
yeah.
Speaking of the deer, I feed the deer.
You do?
I'm a backyard.
Oh, your neighbors love you.
Well, you know, y'all have been to my house.
Not
you
yet,
been
no.
House? Oh, well, you'll have to come. So, I have a deer feed. We have, quite a bit of woods between us and the people on the other side. It's, quite a bit, so I have a deer feeder. And from the local Hollywood pet store, you can buy 50 pounds of corn for, $15.
Mm-hmm.
So,
nice.
I bring it home. And by
Tractor Supply, too.
Tractor Supply, too. Okay. And by me, obviously, I mean Seth.
Leverage.
And so one of the boys will go, my cousin or my son-in-law will go fill up the deer feeder because it's 50 pounds of corn. Dylan comes up. That's my cousin. He lives downstairs. And he comes up yesterday. He put out the deer feed Sunday. And yesterday, he's like, that corn is almost gone. Your deer have a problem.
Oh, my gosh.
They're hungry.
I was like, they don't
have to live in a bougie house.
Yeah.
That's right. They're like, no, we just know where to go. And the buffet
right.
is out.
Yeah.
Right.
And I literally go, well, did you fill it back up? He's like, no, they have a problem. They need to go on a diet. And I was like,
control.
Fill the deer feeder up.
That is hilarious. I had
dinner with clients that closed on a house in Dallas about a month ago, and they invited me over for dinner with Isla.
Aww.
And their house backs up to a state park.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're on almost an acre. I can't remember the neighborhood, but over the course of our two-hour visit, Isla saw eight deer just coming right out, because the neighbor does have a feeder, but eight deer. There have been fox and... what are those other things that are not so great?
Coyotes.
Turkeys. They saw wild turkeys one night. And I'm like, wait till you see a bear.
Yeah.
Or an armadillo.
They were not excited about that. They've seen that.
The possum.
But
possums.
It was so,
raccoons.
So
mm-hmm.
cool.
For years.
That's neat.
For years, we had a turtle that would come eat the cat food out of the backyard.
Really? A turtle?
A turtle.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird?
Whoa. Where did they come from?
I don't know.
Do you have a creek back there?
It was a different house, but it was on Abbey Hill, and it was in downtown, it was in Suwanee, the city of Suwanee, and we were on an acre and a half, and Sims Lake Park had water, but we didn't, but it was a little box turtle, and he would come up
every night.
Yeah, they don't always, they don't
care about water as long as they have enough to drink.
Yeah, and it would come up every night to eat the cat food.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It was, gourmet.
Yeah. And I was like, well, we have a turtle. Possums, raccoons, and stuff is normal, but wait till they get a box turtle.
I would never think of a turtle eating.
We have lakes in Wexford where I'm at in Roswell, and I'm not kidding you, we have a turtle that's probably this big
around. Is it a snapping turtle?
Yes, he's not happy. I stopped once for him because he was in the middle of the street. I'm like, let's get him out of the street. Isla was with me, and he was not, like, he was not budging. He was not interested in going faster. Like, well, you're gonna get hit.
Yeah.
Somebody, one of them did at some point, but I don't think it was this one.
We,
this big.
We moved one. That was at the front gate. Because the people in our neighborhood really didn't know what to do with it. And I went and got a laundry basket. A little shovel and put him in there. And then Greg and I picked him up and took him to the pond.
Yeah. Said, stay.
Be free.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I take bugs out of my house instead of killing them, so I'm not going to let somebody run.
Spiders.
I'm not a big
fan. That's getting killed.
And snakes.
Water bugs getting killed. But like a honeybee got in the house the other day. I caught it. Let it go.
Yeah. Go free.
Well, yeah, because we need the honeybees.
Go do your thing out there.
Yeah. All right, let's talk real estate.
Ooh, real estate.
Let's do it.
You talk real estate. How is it being in real estate as a single mom?
I think being a mom in any career is probably a challenge.
That's the most fair point you could ever make.
Anytime you bring another human into the world, you're just stretched a little bit more. I think I'm really lucky. I'm probably luckier than most. Her dad is 100%, you know. I wonder if this will get back to him. He was not thrilled when I decided to go into real estate. Thus, we are divorced. The career lasted longer than the marriage. But we share her 50-50. Not like she's a pair of shoes or anything. But, you know, on the days I have her, I try very hard not to have showings late at night. I do it during the day when she's at school or during after school. And if she has to go with me on Sundays, she goes with me. And if I try my very hardest on the weekends that she's with dad or the nights that she's with dad, those are the nights that I can show later, designing my own life, trying to remember like why I actually got into this and not working around the clock 24/7.
Yeah, because this business will eat you.
It does. Yeah. So
I don't know, eat, yeah, but it will consume.
Yeah.
It does.
I mean, yeah. And
there's always something to do.
Yeah,
always.
Usually
it comes up on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Oh, you know why?
You want to get busy? I keep saying, great, let's go on vacation so I can get busy. Mom wants a new pair of shoes.
Yeah. No, true story. Like, why that, you know, like, there is actual, like, research of why that happens. Do you know that?
I don't know the real reason.
No,
it does happen.
Okay, so here's the research of why, like, what happens is because you have a finite amount of time and you know it before, there's a line in the sand before you leave. So your productivity level before you go on vacation is so much higher than it is when it's like, oh, well, I have the rest of the week or I have this, right? Like, when there's a finite line, you are suddenly doing a lot more in a lot less time so that you can be gone. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens is you were way more productive in a lot shorter period of time. Therefore, it's going to show up.
Interesting. True.
Uh-oh.
That's true. I forgot about that. You're right. It is so true.
I'm covering for Toni.
Yeah.
So Toni Golden is...
Well, she was on the podcast.
Yes. She's been on here, and she is a fabulous mortgage originator. She is really, really talented. And she is actually, last year, the first time a woman was the top producer at North Point Mortgage,
who
is the fifth the fifth most producing in Fairway. Carpenter and Company is Fairway. So that's a big deal. And she may have talked about it on the podcast, but she's going to South Africa on Friday for 2 weeks, and she's not going to work.
And I love that. That's what you should do.
I love that. Mm-hmm. But I've been trying to get ahead because she asked me to cover for her.
So you're like, I'm almost going on vacation too. I don't know how this is going to work. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I'm using the same modus operandi.
Yes.
Getting ready for her, and now we're just talking.
And you're going, oh, shoot.
Because I started making calls back to my clients from 2 years ago just to touch base. A lot of them do touch base with me, but ones that may not pay attention, that there could be an opportunity for taking that really high interest rate and making it really a much more palatable,
yeah,
rate. So I've been doing that, and then I told Greg, I was kind of down yesterday, and I says, Greg, I don't know if I can still continue to do this. I'm running out of ideas. I said, you know I'm chatty, and you know that I like my work, and you know I can do my work well. I said, but I don't know what else to do to motivate more business. And I got 3 calls this morning.
So just put it into the universe.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make calls. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and those weren't from those 3. These are random people I had not gotten to.
Oh, yet. How funny is that?
Yeah.
But the activity breeds activity.
Yeah.
It does.
I just, you know, God provides. He really does. And sometimes when you're not getting what you want, it's because somebody's telling you that's not where you need to be. Mm. So I try to keep that in mind. But
I remember my first vacation after getting my license years ago. And thinking to myself, oh, vacation, interesting. This will be interesting because now you don't have somebody who you can just hand it off to or whatever. My ex-husband is from Scotland, so my daughter was just over 2, and we usually take her about twice a year because that's where her grandmother is, all the family is still there. And we were flying from Atlanta to JFK, from JFK to Edinburgh, because there's no direct flight except in the summer now. And the entire time I was working on an offer for clients, which I was grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, mm-hmm, pay for your bills this way. But he was frustrated because he had to run around with her at JFK while I was writing this offer and then negotiating repairs in the ATAC while I was hiking King Arthur's Seat in downtown Edinburgh,
mm-hmm,
which I had T-Mobile at the time, which barely worked in the U.S. at the time, but in Edinburgh, it was perfect.
That's awesome. That's
well, like,
yeah.
Yeah. It was great. And I'm like, listen, I'm in downtown Edinburgh right now. I was hiking King Arthur's Seat, and I thought, wow, what a blessing. Mm-hmm. I can do that in the middle of all of it.
Right.
Putting that phone down is the challenge,
yeah,
at the end of the day.
Right.
Like sitting at dinner last night with my daughter and making sure that, you know, being here now, so that you're not constantly doing this while you're trying,
yeah,
to share the day.
Yeah.
And I think women are just uniquely built for that because we are so used to multitasking.
Yeah.
All those interruptions coming in and still making it all run like we do. But we also have to be really careful and mindful about being intentional and putting it down. So
yes.
I don't do that well.
I don't.
Especially as when the children are out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't watch it, I will sit down in front of the computer as soon as I get home and I'll still be there. I can still hear what TV show is on the back. Right now I'm not watching the NCAA basketball games. And I'm a Hoosier, so I do love basketball. So,
no, but it is hard, and it's something I've really had to learn,
mm-hmm,
like really had to learn, and that's why I'm like, I mean, you've like set your calendar up, do this, have all your contingencies. They should all be ending at 5 or 6 o'clock. Like, don't be negotiating crap. And
yeah,
you know, who wants to be up at 11 o'clock at night hoping that you don't have to send
a
TNR?
Yeah,
yeah. Right. And so, like, I've become more intentional around it,
mm-hmm,
and just living to that, because Seth and Alyssa will get frustrated with me because what will happen is if it's not time, like, I'm usually pretty good. By 7 o'clock,
I'm
pretty much done. If you call or text me after 8 o'clock, honestly, I'm not even looking at my phone, so you are going to get a call from me or text when I wake up at 5 a.m. So then most people are like, oh, no thanks. So I don't really get many calls after 8 p.m. anyways, but
I would pick up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
I've already been up for an hour or two.
Yeah, five. But that's the thing is, I'm like, we don't operate in a life or death situation. And if there is an expiration or a time limit, you know about it in advance. So control that a little better. Not that you can control everything, but you can control that better. And me learning that over the years and then helping other people learn that, it has helped tremendously buy back time. But if it's like 4:30 or 5 and I'm talking to Seth or Alyssa and like my phone, I'll get a text or whatever, and then I'll be like mid-sentence and I'll be like, oh, hold on. And they're like, pause for a commercial because she'll be back in a minute. And I'm like,
I missed an entire bingo a month ago. My best friend hosted her bingo group and I missed the entire thing. I was upstairs in her room because the deal was going sideways and my clients, maybe 2 months ago, they wanted to terminate and utilize their financing contingency, which we couldn't do because we couldn't do it. And I missed the whole night. And at the end of the night, and her, most of her friends are nurses, and they're like, oh, so you're like on call all the time. Like, yeah, but not because anybody's life is in danger. It's they don't, I don't think clients realize that you have a life.
Right.
And like that can't, not everything has to be.
Well, not everything's an emergency.
Mm-hmm. It is for them.
Right. It's sometimes financial emergencies are more traumatizing to them than even, you know.
Than a real emergency.
And you want to be so compassionate.
Right.
And it's one of the things you love about the business for me. Like I love being able to help people in that way. Right. We just learning to help ourselves, not negotiating somebody off a cliff on your birthday while you're hiking Tulum's ruins, but being there.
Right. No.
You learn.
But and
one day,
when you're dealing with their finances, it goes to another level because it becomes so personal to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're taught that, you know, you need to be there for your client. I don't know that I need to be there at 11 o'clock.
Right, because if the house is burning down, I can't put it out. Call 911. Like, I can't fix this piece. And, like, if there is a financial emergency, the banks are not open.
Right.
Like,
What year do you realize how to, like, how to triage that and stay in your lane?
Have you learned it yet?
Yeah. How many years now?
I started learning it, and my lender taught me this, Mark.
Uh-huh.
So when I first got in the business, everything was an emergency. You wanted to control everything.
Yeah.
And it's about year 6 or 7 where you're like, I can't control it, so it is what it is.
Okay.
Like, you do kind of change it, and I taught Mary Beth that, because Mary Beth was the same way, where she was like, oh my God, this is happening, and I'm freaking out, and I go, have you done everything you can do? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, then it is what it is.
Right.
Like, if you've done everything you can do, it just gets to the point where you can't change everybody's outcome, and you can't make everybody's outcome be what you want the outcome to be.
Right.
So you start to just get to the point where you're like, it is what it is.
But somebody has to teach it to you.
Yes.
So she even said that, like, who taught it to her, I can vividly remember who taught it to me, is the same thing. And it's like, I remember having conversations with multiple people, and they're like, you're the first person in the entire industry that has ever said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget, we had very tenured agents that joined us from a discount brokerage, and I was like, telling them, like, just even the simplicities of setting up your calendar and how to do the content. And they were like, it was about 6-8 months later, they came back and they were like, so when you first told us that, we thought you were insane, because that's part of our value proposition, is like, I'm here, like, accessible all the time, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, is that something really you need to offer? Like, is that, again, if you're having a heart attack, please don't call me. I can't fix that.
Yeah.
Right? And so they said that really hit them, and they started putting expirations of 5 p.m. on contingencies. And if it ends on a Sunday, it automatically rolls to the Monday. Because here's the thing. If you're being realistic, clients don't want to be up doing that either.
No.
They're just as tired as we are. You know, so you just can't. But I'll tell you one thing that I do is my phone goes on silent. Well, my text messages have always been on silent for the last probably 4 or 5 years.
Oh, mine too.
I don't even, my phone, that it doesn't notify me if I have a text message. I check it on a regular basis, but I don't, I check it when I'm ready to check it. And then my my phone goes on silent mode at 8:30 p.m. and it doesn't come back until 8 a.m. And so you again, you teach people how to treat you. So if you have a client that you're like, oh, I'm 24/7, call me or do what, you know, I'll be there. If you don't start it that way, don't start the relationship that way. But if they send you a text message or a phone call and it's 8:30 at night, don't pick up the phone call.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because then you're teaching them it's okay to call at 8:30 at night.
Right.
Yeah.
I had one this morning that at 8 o'clock. I mean, I saw it come through at like 8:30 because I was still on my phone, but I didn't respond to it. I'm like, no, what? It's not necessary. So this morning at 8:15, it pops up because my phone woke up. And then I sent her a message. I said, oh, sorry, just seeing this. My phone goes on silent from 8:30 p.m. to 8 a.m., blah, 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 blah. You know, and then I answered the question. So then she knows. If you're calling after 8:30, I'm probably
don't
not going to
get anticipate having an answer till 8 or after 8.
And there's nothing that's going to happen.
Nothing.
In the middle of the night anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So just learning that it's okay and you're not...
Boundaries. It's hard. You're going to have those... You're going to have times like that where you miss something.
I'm thinking, okay, I want to be there forever, a realtor, and I'm so grateful that I would say 75% of the clients I've worked with in the 7 years that I've been able to do this have been repeat and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, I didn't do something so egregious that they would never come back. They send family, they send friends. But there's a part of me that's still like, if I'm not birthing their baby, I'm not doing something right.
You didn't try hard
enough. Is that your expectation or their expectation?
Right, like whose expectation is that? Oh, my land.
Yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah. Cindy's more like that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing is that, too, I bet you $5, like, if they ever heard conversations like that, they'd be like, wait, that's really what you guys do? Like, and, yeah, like, if it, you don't put a limit on it, and it's like, you know, nothing was going to change that night, and you missed an entire event of your best friends, and, like, you didn't, nothing fundamentally could be done or change the outcome. I mean, you don't expect a banker or attorney or a doctor or, like, there's so many expectations around professionals. Even for Pete's sake, like, I don't expect a car dealership to be open 24. You know what I mean? Like, that's, there's zero expectations unless it's, I mean, even, does Walmart stay open 24 hours anymore? Like, half of them don't. Waffle House. We are not Waffle House. Yeah. There we go.
They aren't even open on Christmas. I don't want to be Waffle House.
Okay. Yeah. So don't be Waffle House.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go to Waffle House and take advantage of
it. Right. That's right.
And leave a very, very,
very
tip.
Nice
yes.
tip.
Yes.
Well, and then also, the further you out, so prioritize your time based off how close you are to the money on the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're about to go to closing this week and you're in the midst of doing a few things or negotiating something final hours, that's okay. Right? But if you're just starting with them or you're just meeting with them for the first time or where are you in the transaction?
Yes.
Like that, then that changes my priority too.
That's fair.
With my client. You know, if we're closing tomorrow and it's 9 p.m. at night and all of a sudden they're reaching out because their mover's canceled and they can't get out of the house now. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yes, let me know, even though I can't fix that, but I can give heads up to the other party.
And I can get on the phone first thing in the morning and deal with...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Try to make something magical happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's times.
That one that I missed the bingo, that I don't know if you remember this. This was my client's lender was telling them they could use the financing.
I vividly
to get out of it.
Remember that.
We're like, we cannot. But because I had gone to that contracts class in January... And we had that snowstorm in a state of emergency. We were able to get their earnest money back because technically they were still in due diligence because the state of emergency.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped to brainstorm it. But my client was beside himself because it was $5,000 in earnest money that he's starting to lose. And he's got one lender saying, well, we totally can do this, but we couldn't.
Yeah. Can't.
I knew we couldn't.
That was fine. I lost $10 at night. But they invited me for dinner when they closed on their house in Dallas.
And you still got them closed, but yeah, and it wasn't on that house.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was on the one with the deer. And hopefully a bear.
I truly believe if something doesn't work out of you, that's the best hilarious. Work, it wasn't supposed to work that's out, right. and no. something else is coming around.
Yeah,
you
know? There's so much control.
I looked because Friday I was having a stressful afternoon, and somebody that we know really well sent me a client, which I was very appreciative for, and then continued to call and text me till 7:30 on Friday night, telling me how I was to contact our client. I've already worked with them before, and that I had to go there and I couldn't have them meet me here, and they would just keep calling me back with more stuff, and to the point where my husband said, you cannot work with her again. You just cannot. But it worked out. But I was so frustrated, and then they said, her significant other was in the back and said, well, we've had a couple cocktails. And I said, I'm really trying to have a cocktail. That's what.
Right. Yeah. You leave me alone, yeah, please.
Right.
I understand that. I would really like to have a glass
just
of wine.
One. Yeah. Uninterrupted by
and
a
dinner.
Call.
And dinner. Yeah. And I'm not new.
I wanted to say. And so when I called our client the next day, he goes, well, I've been there to your office in Suwannee at the Paddocks. Can
we just meet there?
Yeah. And I said, yes, because they're lovely, but they need a lot of help. They don't have a photocopier. It's an older couple. And I said, yes, I will come to you, but you have to give me all your documents.
Yeah, bring
and
them.
I'm going to have to go somewhere. Or you can come here, and I can just photocopy them. So I will be here tomorrow in the afternoon when I will be photocopying and giving him back his documents. But that was Friday. I'm going, I can't do this anymore. But now, today I'm fine.
Oh, Friday, yeah. Friday though, by call number two, I'd be like, I appreciate the referral. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you. And I've got it.
Yeah, I got it.
I understand.
This is not my first rodeo. Yeah. Good Lord. I started in 1990 doing mortgages. Mm-hmm. 1991, technically.
We won't hold that year against you.
No. No, I don't want somebody who actually knows, because I got people out there just like me. You weren't doing mortgages in 19. You started in 1991.
They have too much time on their hands.
Yeah. Well, my kids do.
Yeah.
They'll be going, you couldn't have done that, Mom.
Well, what, do they listen?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they know.
Oh, this will be a good test.
Yeah. I know a son doesn't listen.
Fair.
I think my daughter and what she has going on probably doesn't want to, probably knows she's better off if she doesn't listen to it. Because then she's going to be calling and I'll have to bring her over here. And she'd be great on the podcast,
sure.
though. She's yeah. amazing. She's a very, she's tall like her father. I mean, for a woman, she's 6 foot, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, and wears amazing. And wears high heels
unapologetically.
She likes it. She's found in her career that a tall, fearless woman is pretty intimidating because mm-hmm. she works in the government industry and
good for her.
Yeah. All
well,
woman.
Well done raising yeah. her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That tall,
she can sing
woman.
Every
yes.
verse
yes.
of I'm woman, hear me roar.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But you sometimes she uses it on me. I don't need her bossing me around.
Yeah.
I'll just get
that.
Up on
they
a,
just do that.
Yeah. I'll just get up on a step stool and carry it around.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I was giggling. My dad tried to tell me what to do the other day.
Yeah.
I ignored him completely mm-hmm. and circled back the next day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I smile and nod and move on. I do that to Greg a lot. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Appreciate the feedback.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. We're done.
Were we done?
Did we talk enough about real estate?
And do you we don't always.
Did we talk? Do you, do you want to talk more about real estate?
No. That was a good one.
Good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.